Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, this is Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. As you have heard in the introduction, we meet every Sunday at 10 o'clock at the Cambria Hotel, Hamilton Hall Conference Room in Noblesville, Indiana. We would love to have you join us this morning. We are a new church plant coming out from under the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, a leading church in Indiana. The Baptist Temple set the bar for the churches of the 21st century to not be caught up in the snare of the Laodicean church. Churches are responsible to birth churches. I will come to you each Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 with hard-hitting truth found in the Word of God. God used radio to bring me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ 30 years ago. He used hymns and spiritual songs to draw me in and then to listen to the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That single event radically transformed my life. I hope that this program will do the same for your life. Awake and rise up out of bed, for the return of the Lord is imminent. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you watching? This 30-minute radio program is and will be, as we carry on, designed to get you prepared and ready and watching for His return. Do you desire for Him to say to you one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? It will be an exciting day for those who are saved, obedient, and faithful. Each week, I will come and bring to you hard-hitting prophecies, fulfilled and unfulfilled, God and government discussions, doctrine, correct doctrine, and false doctrine, history of the Baptists and the Religious Liberty Clause of the First Amendment, a Baptist doctrine. The doctrine of the kingdom of God includes the judgment seat of Christ and ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, the inerrancy, the infallibility, and the preservation of the Word of God through the King James Bible, and many other powerful truths found in the Holy Bible. The Bible says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I will bring to you the voice of the unregistered church in America. The issue to incorporate or not to incorporate is an eternally important question. To make America great again will ultimately require the Lord's intervention and Americans' churches truly yearning for it. I will have guest speakers from time to time discussing these many important topics as mentioned and other topics found in the Holy Bible. The Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." My friend, that doesn't just apply to the individual, it applies to the churches. We need a lot of healing in our land. In Ezekiel 33:11, the Bible says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" We can put that at the end of that passage, "O house of the church," the Lord's church, the house of God, and that applies to the church today. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back in two stages. He's coming back first in the air to take out his saints, his obedient, faithful saints. And then he's coming back at the end of the tribulation to bring wrath and punishment upon the wicked. We find in the Word of God that the Bible tells us And the Lord Jesus Christ uses several analogies to describe his second coming. He's coming as a judge standing at the door. My friend, there's a judgment day coming. I hope you will be ready for that. He's coming as a husbandman, a farmer, preparing for harvest. The second coming of Christ is prepared as a harvest. It is compared to a harvest, to the first fruits, to the gleanings, and to the bulk of the harvest. He's coming as a bridegroom for his bride. We see that in Matthew 25. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming as a thief in the night. The Bible tells us, "But of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." The Lord's coming as a thief, my friends. The Bible tells us over and over again, he is not the thief as Satan is the thief that comes to steal and to destroy. But he is coming as a thief. We see in 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." D.M. Panton says in his teachings that it is pregnant with meaning, the use of that phrase, "a thief in the night." Jesus will be a thief deals with the first stage of his second coming when he comes for his saints. There's a lot of opposition today calling the pre-tribulation rapture a hoax. They are mistaken, my friends. That is not a mistake. The Lord is coming as a thief in the air to take out his church, his faithful servants, before his tribulation that he brings upon this earth. Here's some important points dealing with him coming as a thief. First of all, Jesus comes to steal or take that which is rightfully his own, which the world despises. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Your body is not your own, my friend. If you are a child of God, you need to know that it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord is coming to steal or to take that which is rightfully his own. The Bible also tells us that Jesus coming as a thief in the night implies a hidden Savior cloaked in the clouds. "He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind." He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. A thief comes at night when it is not easy to see. Also at night, many sleep and are unaware of a thief is lurking. The Bible tells us to wake up out of the sleep. "I must work," the Lord Jesus said of him that sent me. "While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." The Lord coming as a thief also implies that the taken goods disappear invisibly and suddenly and are only discovered as missing because they have vanished. We see in the scriptures in Matthew 24, "But the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left." My friend, there is no prophecies to be fulfilled until the Lord comes in the air. There's no warning signs. The Lord just wants us to be watching, to be ready, and to be prepared for his return. Him coming as a thief also implies that only the costliest goods are removed. The Bible tells us that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Lord coming as a thief also implies that there is no evidence of their whereabouts once taken. Just like Jesus is unseen, so will also his saints be unseen, and disappearing from the earth will be unseen. And lastly, it implies that constant watchfulness and unbroken vigil throughout the night is the sole preventative of the burglary. Since no thief gives warning of his coming, the same applies to the Lord's coming. No warning. The Lord tells us in the book of Mark, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." In the words of John Calvin, God intended that the time should be hidden from us for the express purpose that we may keep diligent watch without the relaxation of a single hour. In the book of Matthew, we hear the words, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Note how many times the word watch is used in this passage. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. The Bible tells us to be ready, to be prepared, and to be watching for his return. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis writes the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of John, be watchful. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. That's a warning to the church. That's a warning to believers to be watching, to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see in Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. That could be speaking of the physical garment, but that could be speaking also of the garment of righteousness that is discussed in the Bible, that someday we will get a robe of white that is a symbol of our righteousness and sanctification. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware. My friend, the Bible is telling us, prepare ourselves and be ready for the return of the Lord. It's not a joke. It's not something to mock. It's not something to laugh at. The Lord Jesus is coming back. The church has been on the earth for 2,000 years. Man has been on this earth for 6,000 years. There's going to be a millennial reign when the Lord Jesus Christ reigns for 1,000 years. 7,000 years of life on this earth. The last millennium, the Lord Jesus Christ will come to this earth and reign himself and set up his kingdom. My friend, he wants us to be ready. Those who fear God, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants us to be ready, watching and prepared for the return of the Lord. Are you asleep? Some are asleep. Some are asleep that they're not preparing themselves for the Lord's return. They mock it. They ridicule it. They said for 2,000 years, they said the Lord is returning and he hasn't. My friend, our Lord is patient. His ways are not our ways, the Bible tells us. My friend, we have to be ready and prepared for the return of the Lord. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I made that passage my life verse, studying the word of God and being prepared. The Bible also tells us there's a prerequisite to the rapture. It deals with sanctification. The Lord tells us in chapter 4 of Thessalonians, therefore, or furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how to ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye should abound more and more. There's a walk. The Lord has a pattern of life for us on this earth. For ye know not what commandments we have by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye would abstain from fornication, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy, the Bible says. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. My friends, your body is a holy temple. Therein dwells the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that he will destroy the temple if we defile the temple. It is so important that we be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us in Matthew chapter 25 that the Lord is coming as a bridegroom for his church, for his saints who are virgins, chaste virgins. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit, my friend. They had a lamp, they had oil, but the Bible tells us their lamp went out. Verse 5, "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Means they were not watching. They were not ready. And at midnight is when the Lord is coming back again in the air. "There was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." That oil speaks of the Holy Spirit, speaks of the quenching of the Holy Spirit. When the lamps have gone out, those virgins quenched the Holy Spirit. They grieved the Holy Spirit, and their light went out. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When liberty is extinguished, that means the Spirit of God has been quenched. When the Spirit of God has been quenched, that means liberty has gone out. "The foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Who is that talking to, my friends? That's talking to believers to go to the Lord. In the book of Luke, you learn about importunate prayer. Go to the Lord and ask him for a filling of thy Holy Spirit. That is the buying of the oil for the lamp. They were not ready. They were not prepared. They were slumbering and they slept. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." My friend, a stern warning about quenching the Spirit of God that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, verse 19. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." My friend, we are to be a light in this world. We're to walk as children of light. Many warnings, multitude of warnings found in the Word of God that we need to be ready, watching, and prepared for the return of the Lord. My friends, if you're not saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today is the day all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He paid the penalty on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He died to save you. He died to pay the price of sin. I pray that you would accept him as your Lord and Savior today. Embrace him as the Son of God, Savior and Lord of your life, and call upon his name. Repent of your sins, ask God for forgiveness, and turn your eyes towards Jesus. Get into the Word of God and study it and read it and make it a major part of your life, something that you will treasure and never regret that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and someday you will see him face to face. You all have a good day today. I hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you don't have a place to worship, come to Crown of Life Baptist Church in Noblesville, meeting at the Cambria Hotel.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.